Resistance is the result of an inner conflict between openness and self-protection. At least, that's how Terry Real sees it. And when a client puts up these barriers, Terry believes there's often one protective part at play. Here, Terry shares how this part developed and the five ways that it can keep your client from healing.
You know, I heard the great Elvin Simrad. I heard a story about him, a great psychoanalyst, and he was working with a schizophrenic young man who lived on the streets. He was doing a big demonstration interview, but he was going to follow him after the interview. And he said, I'll never forget this, he said to this man, if you choose to stay in treatment and stay on the medicine that helps you and do the day program and get yourself better, I will be with you while you do that. If you choose to stay on the streets, get off your medicine, start taking drugs and die, I want you to know I will be with you as you do that. But no matter what you choose, life or death, I will be your witness and companion. I'm your guy. That's detachment from outcome. And it's an extremely powerful therapeutic tool, I believe.
So when you think about people being resistant, how do you conceptualize what's going on?
As a relational therapist, which is how I conceive of myself, my plumb line is intimacy. Intimacy looks like this meets this. And the clients that I see look like this meets this. It's I call it relational deformities. And my job is to straighten out the deformities and allow for true, authentic connection between the two parties. So I'm asking myself, as I'm going along, what's moving us toward increased intimacy, what's moving us away from increased intimacy. And one of the things that consistently moves people away from increased intimacy or into resistance is that it's damn scary. Vulnerability and intimacy is frightening. It's what we long for. It's what completes us. But to the degree to which you've been hurt, to the degree which you've had trauma in your childhood, you've seen intimacy do not good things for people. And while we long for it, there are other parts of us that are protective. There are other parts of us that get triggered, and we very much don't long for the vulnerability of intimacy. We long for the shielding of self-protection. In the system that I work with, which I've inherited from Pia Melody, there's a tripart system of the psyche, similar to Dick Schwartz, actually. There's the functional adult part of the self, prefrontal cortex, present-based, thoughtful, here-and-now adult. There's the famous wounded child, which is the limbic system, which is just very young and overwhelmed part of us. And between these two is what I call the adaptive child part of us, the part of us that adapted. And what the bitter pill that I ask the people I work with to swallow is that it's only the functional adult part of us that wants to be intimate. The adaptive child part of us wants to be right, wants to control things, wants unbridled self-expression, retaliation, or withdrawal. These are the five losing strategies that I name. And if you're in your adaptive child part or your partner is in his or her adaptive child part, all bets are off. They don't want to use the skills. They don't want to be intimate. They just want, you know, I have a saying, you can be right or you can be married. What's more important to you? That adaptive child part of you would say, right, is more important down the line. So if I'm dealing with resistance, I'm probably dealing with the adaptive child part of the person, not the adult part of the person. And it's my job to get to know that part of them, to get them to know that part of them, to make friends with that part of them, and ultimately to take care of and demote that part of them. You're not running my relationship, I am. So one of the critical questions in relational life therapy is, which part of you am I speaking to? Am I speaking to the adult part of you that wants to get closer to your partner? Or am I speaking to one of the triggered parts of you that's running for cover? And the art is helping you get recentered in the adult place inside of you that wants to be close in order for you to begin to access these skills.
Could you go over those five types?
Losing strategies?
Yeah.
Sure. These are the things the adaptive child part of you runs on. And your particular losing strategy profile. Ready? Being right, trying to determine who's right and who's wrong and solve your differences by figuring out who's more valid. Good luck with that one. Controlling your partner. I would be happy if only you would, .. unbridled self-expression, the kitchen sink. You did it last week, you did it 10 years ago, you did it, your sister does it, you're just like your father who does it, you're just a big slob. It's unbridled self-expression. Retaliation, which is I'm going to hurt you the way you hurt me, and withdrawal, which is I'm out of here, we're not talking about it, leave me alone. You get caught by any one of those or any combination of those and you're done. You will never get more of what you want when you're in that place because you're not about getting more of what you want. You're about being right or control or one of those agendas.
And when your client's in that place, how do you respond to them?
I teach them about the difference between the adaptive child, the functional adult, and the wounded child. And I go back into family of origin. Once I have the patient's dysfunctional stance, here's a classic dysfunctional stance. Angry pursuit is a dysfunctional stance. It's a dysfunctional relational stance. Angry pursuit is an oxymoron. There's nothing seductive or attractive about angry pursuit. It's a self-defeating strategy. So once I get that stance identified, I go up a generation. Who was the complainer in your family growing up? Oh, my God, my mother. My mother was miserable with my father all day long. And where were you in this? I felt sorry for my mother. Oh, you still do. Even though she's dead, you're carrying on the family business. What do you mean? What was your mother's name? Stephanie. Okay. Stephanie and Ruth, complaint are us. This is the family business. Your mother taught you how to park in a complaint position, and now you're carrying on the legacy. Is this how you want to live your life, or will you let me help you get out of this?
As Terry showed, intimacy can feel like a very risky proposition. At the beginning of this talk, Terry shared a story about a practitioner offering unconditional positive regard for his client. Dr. Ron Siegel had a further thought on that.
There's a tradition in many mental health circles that if somebody comes in and they're actively drinking or actively using some other drug, we say, well, first you have to be abstinent. And once you're abstinent, once you gain abstinence through AA or something like that, then I'll work with you. I once had a colleague of mine who worked a lot with substance abuse problems saying, it's a little bit like having a depressed person come into our office and saying, you know, as soon as you cheer up, I'm happy to be your psychotherapist, but I don't want to see you with all this morose business. It's, you know, there's something a little peculiar about it in a sense, not accepting the person even when they're making the maladaptive choice. But of course, we have the opposite problem, which is all the people who maybe spent years in psychoanalysis or some other kind of treatment, never dealing with their substance problem. And they later said, gosh, you know, it wasn't until I found AA and found all these other people who had failed psychotherapies that I thought, oh gosh, my therapist really did me a disservice by doing this for all these years. So what do we do with this tension? I don't think there's an easy, one reliable answer each time. I think that we need some kind of a middle road in which we maintain the relationship, excuse me, let the person know that we're with them, we're going to love them and be with them, whatever the choice is, but we don't stop looking at the consequences of the behavior. We don't stop helping them to see that a given maladaptive pattern is going to keep them trapped. And in fact, I have the fellow who I mentioned just before with the who turned to substances in adolescence. I was working with him as an adult, and he was still using substances at the beginning. And we did a lot of work to try to develop greater affect tolerance to be able to use the skills to be able to be with the feelings that I was just discussing before. And then he actually was able to get sober. Then he was able to use those other programs to get sober. And he was so grateful for having stayed with me, for my having stayed with him, because he had the sense that, you know, without sobriety, I was going to drop him. at some point because that's what he had heard from others. So it's just a very complicated balance, but there's something very, very important about this unconditional positive regard.
As Ron suggested, it's a tricky balance between giving unqualified support and promoting behavior change. In the next module, we'll look at one overlooked reason why some clients stay resistant.